are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Back in the saddle again, back here in the safety of this multi-million dollar studio from which we broadcast Coach Dave live to you and to the world. And honored that you'd be here with us. Got in late last night, got a little bit of sleep, woke up late, the coffee pot fizzled, the computer wouldn't update. Other than that, it has been a beautiful, beautiful morning. And as I woke up with a little bit of edge on me today, honored that you guys would come with. We've got some great stuff to talk about. And my buddy Jeff here in the queue, there was a conversation going on at the beginning of the, as I came in the queue this morning. For those of you who don't know, when the show goes live, we have a debate, not a debate. We have discussion before the show goes live. We call it the queue. There's sometimes 15, 20 of us talking to each other before the show goes live. And then the after show is even more amazing. There are guys that are in the after show for sometimes for an hour discussing the things that we were talking about. So I got in a little bit late here, had a little bit of chip on my shoulder. And Jeff was having a conversation with, he was part of the conversation, was in the queue. And he said, made the comment, that's okay. God has a plan for your life. And I just said, where does the Bible say that? So, well, it says in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plan. That's Jeremiah. Somewhere in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have. Now, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Got a cough drop in my mouth. And I thought, wait a minute. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Does that refer to everybody? Or just to Jeremiah? And I don't really have the answer, and I don't want to get in a debate by it, but I look at the plans. Do we have the ability to cancel God's plans? Ooh, that'll take you into debate, right? He says, I know the plans that I have for you. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Can you get some steps that'll lead you away from that? Before he formed you in a womb, he knew you and he set you apart. How come you're not walking in that? Why would he form you in the womb and plan out your life and all you do is sit in the pew? That is plan.
Because he gave you.
Here's a good flower pot. We'll just sit them right in the pew. Go ahead. I don't know. About time you started running. That's my computer. I told you I got a little bit of
it. God gave us free will. He has a plan that he will use his Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us on if we will freely choose to accept his guidance and direction. But it says that lean not unto your own understanding.
I don't want to get into a deep theological discussion, but again, these are the things that in my Christian walk, these are the questions that trouble me most. I don't get troubled about when the rapture's coming. That doesn't trouble me. I don't get troubled about whether or not once saved always. I don't get troubled by that. It's some of these things that just don't seem to jibe. Don't always seem to jibe. If he knew me before he formed me in the womb. He knew Jeremiah. I'm not arguing with the scripture. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I set you apart. Jared, can you pull that up here real quickly? I don't know where it is. You'll find it. Before I formed you in the womb, I should know. It's like Jeremiah 1, maybe 1:6, 1:5, something like that. Yeah, I think I'm pretty close. But let's look at this in context. Please, I'm not arguing, okay? Then the word, Jared, let's start at verse 1. I'm going to move on. I've got a lot of great stuff with you. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. So talking about specifically who he's talking to. to whom the word of the Lord came in the day of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Now, stop right there. Who's he referring to? Is he referring to Larry? Is he referring to Coach Dave? Is he referring to Mike Heath? Is he referring to Jeff Klein? Looking down there, referring to George Lewis, Jeff Nell, Dale, is it for, before I formed you in the womb, specifically the word of the Lord came unto me saying, now, here's a question. Is that a general application? Did the Lord sanctify us, all of us, and ordain us a prophet unto the nations? Not trying to start a fight, just trying to read the Bible and have the Bible make sense. We had a wonderful time yesterday in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I want to just expound on that a little bit if I can. Jared, if you would, please, go to my Facebook page. I think there's some stuff on my Facebook page. Oh, you had a picture today of Gunny Sergeant Alan Hoyle. Let me build a little bit of a background here, folks, so you understand exactly what took place yesterday. Alan Hoyle, amazing. He shows up to court in his Marine uniform. Now, I don't know how long ago he wore it. I joked because I couldn't get my fat belly in a pair of pants I wore 4 years ago. Or Alan, who knows how long it's been?
14 years.
14 years. And he put on his uniform and showed up. And it was amazing. The group that you see right there before you, Pastor Bill with Jeff, and then Pastor Bill, and then Mike Blake, and Harry, and then in the background there's Phil, and there's old OJ. OJ and his wife Dorita, and Linda Tibbs drove 11 hours. OJ lives clear over on the far end of Kentucky. He said over the Mississippi River, 11 hours. And then Mountain Man's there in the front in the yellow shirt, and there's Trump behind him. And then Linda Tibbs is just picking her little eyes over the top of Mark Trump's shoulder. And there's Gunny Sergeant Alan Hoyle. And then to the left is Dorita, OJ's wife, and Larry Richardson. God bless Larry Richardson. I'm going to tell you, Larry's a doer. Larry puts his money where his mouth is. Larry showed up. And then there I am. And then Jane LeBlanc, Ray's wife, and then Ray in the corner, and Mike Heath. And we came from probably 6 or 7 different states, and we stood out in front of the courthouse and held up signs. There's no equal justice. If there is not equal justice, there is no justice. We had signs that we made, and Alan Hoyle was to go into court yesterday. He was arrested. He was arrested. Alan Hoyle was arrested about 2 months ago at a homosexual, sodomite, exposing, loving, debaucherous parade in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Alan Hoyle showed up with the law in his hands that said it's illegal in the state of North Carolina for a man to wear a mask in public. Now, Alan expounded on this. I didn't know this. The reason it was illegal to wear a mask is because it had to do with the KKK. Made sense then. When he said it, made sense. Couldn't put a hood over your head. You couldn't do that, right? But it's still on the books. It's still on the books. So when Alan went to the gay pride parade there where, you know, butt cheeks shown and everything. I'll get into that in a second. When Alan went to it, he went there with a statute in his hand. He went to the police officer and said, look, I'm not allowed to wear a mask. If you've ever been to the gay pride parade, you know these guys put these muzzles, like dog muzzles. But I'm telling you the truth, okay? These guys show up with dog muzzles and dog leashes, and they parade each other down the street. And Alan Hoyle goes with the statute, and there you go. There's one of them. Yeah. And Alan Hoyle goes to the police. So they're not allowed to do that. Not allowed to do that. And he kept going to other cops and other cops and other cops and other cops. And they got, look, folks, public streets in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's on our public streets in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Allen was persistent. He kept going to the police and said, this is against the law. Arrest these guys. Make them take their mask off or arrest them. And so we know what happened. They arrested Allen Hoyle. They arrested Allen Hoyle. So we found out yesterday some interesting details. When they arrested Allen and they cuffed him and arrested him, and they took him into custody, Allen said, what am I being charged with? And they said, we'll let you know later. In other words, but Allen has it all on his GoPro, recorded the whole thing. They arrested him without even any charges. It was a matter of weeks before he even found out what they were. And folks, can I try to appeal to your senses a second? Can I appeal to this? How do we allow this stuff that you're looking on right now? How do we allow this in our public streets? How do we allow this in front of women and children? Right? And I can show you more, Jared. You could go down there. You can go through any gay pride parade and you can see men walking around with their butt cheeks showing. Their butt cheeks. You know what butt cheeks are? Why are men going around with their butt cheeks exposed? Does anybody have any idea why they're doing that? Why are they hell-bent on having the rest of us look at their bare butts? Why is it?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
That's just like prisoners when they have their pants hanging down from their buttocks.
Good one, Paul. That's exactly right. Right? We know what that means. And so they're introducing to women and children the idea of anal sex, homosexual sodomy. And we call it pride, and we let it go on. And Allen Hoyle comes to the gay pride parade, the debaucherous parade, the no shame parade, and he brings a statue with him, and he tells the police, enforce the law. We enforce the law. That's why we're in the mess we're in, folks. Because even in the church, there's just casual application of the law. Somebody can say amen. Somebody say amen. Just a casual application of the law.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? And it goes on because we permit it to go on. See, those guys are walking bare-butted down the street of Charlotte, North Carolina, because the church doesn't care. The church does not stand up. You know, I was listening to his show this morning, got me laughing, because I started doing some street preaching. Well, they like to say, keep your hands out of my uterus, all that stuff, right? I said, keep your butt cheeks out of my eyes. I don't want to look at that, right? Where's the no outrage? Why do we have no moral outrage about some of this stuff that's going on? When are we going to rise up and understand that there is such a thing as sin? It is debaucherous. It is a thumb in the eye of Almighty God. And we are his representatives here. And the public parading of public indecency, good Christian men and women should rise up against it. Can somebody tell me why we don't? And why when Allen Hoyle goes to the parade and points it out, they arrest him. I'll try to calm down. I'm still mad about my computer not working. That's working now. Still mad about that. So put those people back on the screen, Jared, if you could for me. God bless every one of those guys. God bless them all. Because it was a 7.5-hour drive for Jeff Klein standing there in the front in the black shirt. Jeff Klein, and then on his shoulders, Pastor Bill and Harry. And then you can't really see Mike Blake. He's standing behind Harry there. And me, and then Phil. So if you look at, as you look into the screen, you see OJ there. OJ's big old smile. If you look to the left of that, left of the screen, that's who was in our van. Phil, Mike, Harry, Jeff, Pastor Bill, and me. We drove 7.5 hours in a van, went and stood out on the streets, and drove 7.5 hours home last night. It was a pain in the butt, to be honest with you. It was a pain in the butt. But guys came from a lot of different places. And I salute every one of them that came. And I'm going to tell you this. Every time we show up, God shows off. Every time. Without failure. Folks, God, Almighty God, can only bless action. He cannot bless sitting in a chair. He cannot bless just sitting in a prayer closet. He cannot. He needs something to work with.
Amen.
Amen, Coach.
And so we showed up, and God did a miracle. He did a miracle.
Amen.
Now, I was trying to, all the way home, I was struggling with this and all the way home. What, Lord, what caused, I'm sorry, Alan Hoyle's charges were dismissed yesterday as we filtered into that courtroom. I'm going to talk about that in a second, in a minute. All of a sudden, Alan Hoyle, the room was packed. We're all sitting in there in a block of us. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Flip Benham's there, 16. 16 of us sitting in there in a block and watching that farce take place. And all of a sudden, Alan Hoyle stands up and, as you seen dressed there, walks out of the courtroom. There's nothing going on other than a bunch of disorganization with lawyers running around, and it's crazy. And Alan gets up and walks out. And I said, well, Alan, what's going on? What's going on? He motions to us, and we all went outside, and there he stood, and he said, they dismissed my case. I said, what? They dismissed my case. So they didn't even have the decency. The judge didn't have the decency to call you up in front of everybody and say, Gunnery Sergeant Hoyle, gavel come down, boom, case dismissed. Didn't have the decency to do that. They snuck into you in the cover of darkness and handed you this sheet and said, you can go on home. We dropped the charges. They didn't even have the decency to do that. Jared, go to my Facebook page. Just scroll down on my Facebook page. That's why I took a minute to grab a hold of Alan Hoyle. Keep on going down. And just like in a boxing ring, I grabbed his arm. I put his arm up in the air, just like they would do in a wrestling match, just like they do in a boxing match. You won, brother! You won! They don't even acknowledge that he won. And he won because he stood on the word of God. And the Lord said, you go and I'll be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And because we showed up, I don't know why or how or what was the switch. Remember we talked yesterday about prayer? I don't know what flip switch it was we flipped. I don't know what it was that got God's heart. I don't have any idea. I'm not taking any claim on anything that happened. I'm not saying, look at me, look at us, look what we did. I don't know why. But I know this, that when we showed up, when OJ showed up and Dorita showed up and Linda Tibbs showed up and Mike Blake showed up, and when we showed up, when Larry Richardson drove all the way from South Carolina to stand with the Gunny, the Lord did something. I don't know who to take credit. I don't know if we're going to give out an MVP. I don't know who gets it. I don't know. But it happened. Again.
God honors obedience, Coach.
He honors obedience. He honors action, Randy. He honors action.
Obedience is action, Coach.
And so, Randy, all the way home, I'm trying to feel good, and I can't feel good. I just cannot make myself feel good. Does anybody know why I can't make myself feel good? Because I know how easy it is to win. And I can't get – I'm not crying in my soup. If we could mobilize Christians, we could once again reclaim this culture and this society. Folks, I'm telling you. Now, I don't know the inner workings. I don't know what's going on. But I can promise you this, that somebody – in that courtroom saw a bunch of people like us sitting there watching what's going on. And somebody made the decision, let's drop this one. Now, maybe it was the Lord. Maybe the Lord moved behind the scenes and made that happen. Maybe they were going to do it anyway. Maybe they were going to drop it anyway. Maybe they realized they had a lousy case anyway. I don't know. All I know is we showed up and Alan Hoyle's hand went in the air. That's all I know. That's all I know. And my frustration continues to be that we won't show up. I don't care where the venue is. God bless Alan Hoyle for fighting sodomy. God bless him for standing up against that. God bless him. You know, he told me yesterday, Alan told us this yesterday, when we were getting ready to go to the courthouse, he said that one of the bailiffs or one of the, they tried to give him a plea bargain, of course, before that, and he wouldn't take it. And one of the ladies at the clerk's office or wherever it was says, sir, do you realize that you could be sentenced to 6 months in jail? What'd the gunny sergeant say? So? It is amazing. Let me shut up a minute. Let me call in Mike or somebody that was there yesterday, Larry, somebody, just because we all see different things when we go, right? We all see and experience different things. And again, my frustration is this was so easy. Yeah, it cost us a night in a hotel. And yes, we had to buy some food. And yes, yeah, a lot of gas. And yeah, my butt was sore and I got on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I bet the gunner slept good last night. I bet he slept well. Somebody come in, Mark or somebody that was there.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff. Thanks for going, Jeff.
That was a great trip. But you know, when you raised his hand right there, did you remember what Alan said? Look at his finger. He said, we're going to give this all to the Lord. That's the MVP. That was right off his lips immediately. And the one thing I want to say about the trip is seeing everybody. Here's one highlight of my trip. And I've only met her once, but just to be there in front of that courthouse and Polly Heath come up and give me a hug. She just smiled. And I thought, you know, here she is. I don't know everything she's been through. I know she had some problems health-wise. But she comes up and hugs me and, Jeff, good to see you. I'm like, that was the highlight right there to see her come out. She's just such a sweetheart. You know what I mean? And there she was right out there with us.
So Jeff, I try over and over and over try to sell people on the camaraderie. And I don't know why we can't crowbar some of you out of your comfort zone. For the life of me, I don't understand it.
Think of the fellowship that you guys had in that van.
Oh, well, I slept a lot of it. No, I didn't. We did. We had Joseph. Not only we just had great fellowship. And you know what? Pastor Bill really got a chance probably to meet. He never met Phil Parr. He didn't know Phil Parr. You know? And so Pastor Bill's down there. I don't know. Had he ever met Polly? I don't know. And we were all there from so many different places having such a tremendous impact with our common love for the Lord. Again, as I said, I ought to be jumping up and down dancing because we won. But see, I'm not surprised. We always win. We always win. Come on, man. We always win. Let's go. Yeah, come on. Is that you, Jared, somebody?
No, that was me, Jeff. When I went to stand before the judge, I relied on these verses in Luke 21. Verses 12 through 15. If you could bring that up, Jared, this is really it. The stress of the waiting time is so stressful. But how to bring peace into your heart to say that God is in control, to help you to stay in control. Don't let it get to you.
So Luke 21, 12 through 15, is that what you said, Jeff?
Yes, yes.
But before all these, thou shalt lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. A moaning about the test. You get to moan about the test. So therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate over what you're going to say when I ask you. For I'll give you the mouth of wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay, nor resist. Just got to show up. Somebody else. I got a couple good things I want to share with this one. Somebody else has something to say. OJ, I know OJ's listening. He doesn't. Sometimes he listens on tape. I just want to honor OJ and Dorita and Linda Tibbs. And 11 hours one way. OJ came, made all the signs. See, these are the guys that you win games with. You don't win games with me. I mean, I'm important, but I'm no important than OJ or Dorito or Larry. And all we do here is give a guy like Larry a chance to get in the game. Dorita, Larry, and OJ, it mattered so much from OJ. He drove 22 hours. I don't know how much his gas cost. He never asked me for gas money. I don't know what it cost. What's Alan Hoyle's freedom worth? He said, "Well, OJ said, I don't know what it's. I don't know how much it's going to cost me, but it's worth it."
Coach, went.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Every single person who showed up is important, but it takes a captain to win a battle. And I couldn't, with my overactive imagination, I couldn't help but think of you as a ship captain with that great big, huge, looming granite courthouse behind us, and it comes to a point there at the corner of the street, and the street's quite busy. Yeah, Jared's showing the picture, so it would be behind us. But that building right there in front of us is just a very imposing battleship. So I wrote this about you. Appearing like forceful captains on the prow of a ship emerging from a dense fog bank of injustice, Coach Dave and Pastor Bill preached loudly to the passersby. And that was the high point for me, was when you were calling out the men who run around in public exposing their butt cheeks. And what was so pathetic is you weren't preaching to nobody. There were people around. There were people passing by and everything. But it's we're so asleep about things that matter. We're so asleep. We're just our wits and our minds and our emotions are so dull. We are so dull.
Mike, you know, and all the time I've done this kind of thing before, I was amazed. There was hardly any resistance out there. Most people understood it and were with us.
Yep.
They would never say it, right? They would never say it, but they were with us, especially as I graphically explained men with their butt cheeks exposed in front of little kids. People get it. They get it.
But preachers won't do what you were doing yesterday. You were just doing the job of a preacher. You were out. You were in public. You were doing what Paul the Apostle did. You were doing what the early examples of Christianity did. They went, they found the place where people, debated things that mattered in those cities around the Mediterranean. And they went to those places and they shared the gospel. They preached the gospel. They didn't go hide.
Mike, Isaiah said the truth has fallen where? Where has truth fallen?
Streets.
In the streets. I didn't go. I wasn't preaching a salvation message yesterday. Nope. I was preaching a truth message.
Amen.
These guys are going around with doggy masks on and their anuses being exposed to young children, and nobody cares. As if they have the right to show their ugly butt to me and my family. I have to look at that? Where's the outrage? They get away with it because what I wrote today, probably won't have time. How about this one, folks? I wrote today, nothing really matters. Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled the trigger, now he's dead. Oh, mama, life had just begun. Now I've gone and thrown it all away. I don't want to die. I sometimes wish I'd never been born at all. Carry on, carry on. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters, man. Nothing really matters. Football games. The destruction of our culture, the stealing of the innocence of kids, parents taking kids to go down to watch men with exposed butt cheeks parade, nothing It really matters. Anyone can see. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters to me.
Yeah, it might not matter to the guy that wrote the song, to him, but it matters to God. And if you are a member of the body of Christ, it should matter to you. If it doesn't matter to you, you need to question whether you're a member of the body of Christ or not.
That's right. If it matters to him, it ought to matter to me. And see, that if you listen to that song, it's a cry of desperation. What's that desperate cry? Ain't nothing that matters in my life. Nothing matters. All the Bengals and the Browns and the Saints and Drew Brees and that stuff all matters, but not what really matters. Nothing matters to me. Oh, some guy's walking down there with a doggy mask on, exposing to young children the idea of man taking his sexual appendage and sticking it in the rear end of another. Not that matter. It doesn't matter. Debauchery, prating up and down. Nothing really matters to me. What matters to me? It matters to me.
Coach.
Yeah.
Everyone says, Lord, how can I serve you? I want to serve you, Lord. I want to serve you. And he said, this is what he does, Coach. And we just, it's all talk. And then he pulls you into a court case like he did you. He pulls Alan in. He pulled me in for spitting on the sidewalk. He pulled me and set me up. He's pulling us into this fight whether we want to or not, Coach. And if everyone can't see this, what the Holy Spirit's doing, he's assembling the body of Christ. It's going to the street. It's leaving the building. It's over. That's over. That event, that show's over, Coach. We are being pulled into the battle of this justice thing, whether we like it or not. We better get on board.
Equal justice. Jared, pull up Psalm 94. Anybody can come in. I'm kind of melancholy this morning because right now, somebody over at East Main Street in Columbus, Ohio, right now, some girl's in there being prepped to have a baby ripped out of her. And I know we ought to be able to end it. I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that's going on only because I permit it. And only because I love myself so much that I won't go lay myself on the line to protect that little innocent unborn baby and that woman who's being led to the slaughter. I won't go do that. Why? Nothing really matters but me. Psalm 94 is what I saw yesterday. I was praying that this morning as I was getting ready to do my show. Lord, show me. Show me. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Show thyself. He did yesterday, by the way. Lift up yourself, you judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Folks, this ain't friendship evangelism again. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? How long, Lord? They break in pieces your people. And they afflict thine heritage. Do you get that verse right there? Folks, do you get that verse right there? They afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger. And they murder the fatherless. They're being prepped right now over on Main Street in Bexley, Whitehall. They're fatherless. You know, you can search the scriptures And you will never find ever, not one time in the scripture, will you ever find the Lord or the writers of any of the gospels or the writers of any of the words in the scriptures. You will never, ever hear them mention the motherless. It's always the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord doesn't see it. Neither shall the God of Jacob regard. He ain't no God. He isn't sin. Hey, I'm talking about believers. Nothing really matters but me. Yesterday, ye brutish among the people. I'm sorry. Understand, you brutish among the people and ye fools. When will you be wise? He's talking to believers. He that planted the ear, isn't he going to hear? He that made the eye form, now he's not going to, you think the Lord isn't seeing this? He isn't hearing this? You think he's not looking at you and your inactivity and your apathy? Because nothing really matters but me. He that chastens the heathen shall not he correct? He that teaches men knowledge, are you telling me he doesn't know? Because the Lord knows the thoughts of man. Nothing really matters but the New Orleans Saints.
Well, Dave, this is the issue you arose earlier about what's it going to take to pry people off the couch or whatever to get. What is it going to take? See, this, I mean, man, we've spent so much time talking about this that it's crazy. I don't know what has to happen to cause people to have passion for raising up. Like you said, I mean, God is undefeated. He's undefeated. That's we serve him. Yeah. If we just show up, we would expand the kingdom. But we're too distracted. We've got too much other stuff going on, I guess. I don't,
Chad, it's right here in verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man. And he knows that nothing really matters but me. That's the problem, see. The Lord knows that. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, and teaches him out of your law. Keep your butt cheeks out of my eyes!
You know, verse 11 says,
that you may give him rest in the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. What? The Lord won't forsake his inheritance? You mean if I show up, he'll be there to fight for me? Huh. But judgment shall return unto the righteous, and all of the upright in heart shall follow it. And then the Lord asks the question, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the wicked workers of iniquity? Hey, Jared, put that picture up. I'll show you some who did and some who will. There's some who will rise up against him, against the workers of iniquity. Those guys will. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Stay with me, I'm going someplace. And when I said, my foot slips, Lord, give me some mercy, he held me up. And in the multitude of my thoughts, within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Here we are. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with the courts who frame mischief by law? That's what's going on. They are framing sin by making it legal. They make sin legal. Exposed butt cheeks with masks in the streets of Charlotte is legal. Speaking against it is not. They frame mischief by law and call it the legal system. And the folks in that courtroom yesterday gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and they condemn innocent blood. But the Lord was Alan's defense. My God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Jared, go back to that picture. Lord sent some lawnmowers yesterday to cut down some weeds, see? Sent some lawnmowers. He sent some guys to tend to be the husbandry of the culture. And I have mixed emotions today because this ought to be going on everywhere. There ought to be somebody like Alan Hoyle everywhere with a bunch of people around him bearing witness to truth in the midst of those who codify wickedness by law. I've rambled quite a bit. Somebody come in here. I got some other stuff. Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking about that as you're saying it, right before you're saying it, I'm thinking of this. And as we all circled around Alan, we gathered around him and laid hands on him, and Pastor Bill prayed over him. I mean, it was just powerful. But look at all the people. That building was huge. There was probably 50 to 100 attorneys.
Crime's big business, folks. Crime's big business. Go on, Jeff.
Co-workers everywhere in that building. Look at all the people. They just kept coming out and seeing what was going on. That just rocked their whole world in that courthouse. And Alan just standing there tall, you know what I mean? And we're ready to go. A bunch of warriors for Christ standing in front of that place. It was great.
Because, Jeff, nothing really matters but them. Everybody in that courtroom. What a wicked environment our courts are, folks. It is money. It is the ultimate money changers. And I'm going to tell you something. Once you are trapped inside that wicked justice system, injustice, once you are trapped in there, they got you. They may get a shoe. They may get a shoe and a sock. They may get a shoe and a sock and a belt. They may get a shoe and a sock and a belt. But I'm telling you, you are leaving that place with less than you went into, even if you're innocent. It's wicked. It is wicked. I'm going to say it again. They're framing mischief by law. And I often wonder, I saw yesterday, before Alan's case was dismissed, which they didn't even do it publicly, one guy's on trial for having marijuana or something. I don't know what it was. They didn't say what the substance was. And what happened? Well, the police officer stood up and said, here's what I saw, Your Honor. They did this, and I chased him down in there, and he had the bag, and he flushed it down there, and we reached in and grabbed it, Your Honor. Then sits down. So in other words, the cop's word is good. The other guy's word isn't good. And there sits the judge. They call her a judge. There she sits. Do you think she's on the cop's side, or is she on the defendant's side? What do you think? She's impartial. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that. Many of those guys being defended by, are you ready? A public defender. Public defender. Can I ask you something? Who pays the public defender? Oh, the court. The same court that pays the judge's salary and the bailiff's salary. And that little bossy woman who was going around telling everybody, take off your hat, quit talking. Yeah, the public defender gets paid by the same fund as the prosecutor. They're on the same team. It's wicked. Oh, it's wicked. Amazing. It's amazing that we won in that hellhole, that pit of the judicial system.
Hey, Coach.
God brought Alan Hoyle right up out. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Coach, let me tell you about public defenders. When I was in jail waiting for the trial that never happened, I told the Lord, I says, Lord, I says, don't even send a public defender to me unless he's listened to you first. Is it any surprise that at no point in the process, although I was eligible and had asked for it, at no point in the entire process did a public defender ever say one word or approach me? Because not a one of them would listen to him.
Well, Larry, not only that, folks, we saw this yesterday in the courtroom. The bailiff stands up and said, is Jeff Klein here? In other words, not Jeff, not our buddy Jeff Klein, but a defendant. Somebody's on the docket. Jeff Klein? Here? No, said, are you defending you? You had to say, are you defending yourself? Do you have an attorney or would you like whatever? Jeff Klein? Attorney? And the most amazing thing would happen. These guys would stand up, say, I'm here, and here'd come walking some public defender. He'd come up and shake your hand. How you doing? And he'd walk out of the room, and that would be the guy's legal defense. And the guy'd walk back in the room, and you know what the public defender told him? As a public defender's getting $250 or whatever, probably more than that, Roger. I don't know what he's getting. And as they walk back in the courtroom, well, out of the courtroom, what does the public defender say to his client? I think we can get this reduced. I think we can get this down to just time served. I think that's what I'll get. What? I want trial. Not, well, you know, you do that, you run the risk of, you know, they're really going to bring, what a wicked system. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Coach, this is, right there is a picture of the church. That's there the true is. Church standing there assembled right there.
Amen. Amen.
That's the service. That's a meeting. That is what God is trying to bring forth right now, Coach. He is sick of this system that's in the walls. Yep. He wants God's throne is justice and righteousness. Coach, the fruit of righteousness is justice. The fruit of unrighteousness is unequal justice. It's injustice. It's no justice. We got to see that God wants justice. That is what he wants.
That's right.
Coach, what's wrong with the people that can't see? No, this is what God wants, Coach. He wants justice. If we want to serve God, we would be out there fighting for justice.
Can I give you the answer, Randy? Hang on a minute. Nothing really matters but me.
Our kingdom. Our own personal agenda and our little life and kingdom trumps God's will.
Nothing really matters but me. I should rewrite that. So I got to shift gears real quick because I got to show you this because this is why we're in the mess we're in. Jared, get ready to pull up Tim Keller here. World famous evangelist, church builder, call him whatever you want to, Tim Keller. Most of you probably don't even know who he is. I'm going to show you why we're in the mess we're in. Tim Keller. I got a clip here. It's about a 6-minute clip. Oh, my goodness. I got to get Robert in here. Stop it, Jared. I'll use Tim Keller tomorrow. I'll use him tomorrow. Is Robert with us today? Or is he mad because I didn't let him get in here yesterday? I forgot all about him.
He's here.
Yeah, I'm here, Coach.
Robert, I'm sorry about you. I just.
No problem.
I know you don't care, but it was timely. What you had yesterday was timely. So, Robert, quickly. Let's try to read today the 15th and the 16th. Let's try to get through both of them. We'll talk about Tim Keller tomorrow. I haven't even got started yet.
All right. We'll hit the 15th yesterday. Yeah.
This was yesterday. Remember we were talking about prayer yesterday. I was at McDonald's and all that. This would have been apropos, of course. Go ahead, Robert. I'm sorry.
January 15th. Quote is, if you flee from those who speak truth, you will fly into the traps of those who speak falsehood.
Lord.
And we see a great falling away today. The great falling away is happening today. Too many play, too few pray. Too many are living to be happy, while others are just happy to be living. And fewer are those living to be holy. Too many organize, too few agonize.
Mm.
Many are quick to laugh, slow to mourn, love to shake, but hate to break.
Wow.
Many go to church, few are the church. We saw it yesterday, the church showing up.
Right.
Many are being lured to sleep in carnality by ear-tickling wolves dressed in sheep clothing.
Mm.
They will not enjoy facing the righteous one dressed in glory. The glorious bridegroom is returning for a holy bride dressed in fine linen, bright and clean, not for a harlot dressed, a bride dressed to kill.
Mm.
It's interesting, though, Coach, that linen bright and clean is that righteous acts of the saints, by the way, acts. If the church of God had remained loyal to its original design, being the house of prayer, and remained filled with those who had not abandoned their first love, nor were prevented from exercising their priesthood. And had they continued their devotion to the apostolic teaching, to fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer, churches today would not have deteriorated into houses of clay and buildings of clay, but would have remained standing high and strong as temples of living stones.
Oh, my goodness. I'd love to play that Tim Keller clip. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Robert, give us January 16th.
Okay, January 16th. Christians who are taught by the Spirit of truth will be nourished on the Word of God and will possess the mind of Christ. They will be less inclined to listen to words of men and be blown about by every wind of doctrine. They sail with the Spirit and walk on water rather than shipwreck on the shore and drown at sea. Okay, the subject is, what is your diet? Basically, it's the Word of God. And this, you'll relate to this, Coach. And Mike Keith would also, Michael and Blake and all. Jesus stated that man cannot live on physical bread alone, but must live by every inspired word of God. The God-inspired word brings spiritual growth and spiritual equipping. When practiced, it brings discernment and blessing. When despised, it brings indebtedness. And, of course, being sincere about doing the will of God is required to obtain true understanding of the teachings of God. Amen. See the word doing again.
Yep.
Is the Bible an ornament on your table? Or is it a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path?
My goodness.
All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. See, reproof, correction. The psalmist said, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction.
Amen.
Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Those who understand the supernatural nature of God's revelation appreciate its value. Now, to him who's able to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, that's how we're established. Amen. My eyes anticipate the night watches, says the psalmist, and I will meditate on your word. Mm. At midnight, I shall rise and give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. Seven times a day, I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. That's King David. Amen. The word of God, not religious traditions of men, is a mighty sword for true warriors. Of course, it has to be used under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, since it is a sharp two-edged sword, one edge to cut out sin, the other edge to cut off the enemy.
Wow.
This is where many get into trouble and get wounded or killed in battle or taken captive by the enemy. They wield the sword in their own power as they see fit, often injuring their fellow soldiers instead of fighting the true enemies of God.
Amen, Robert.
There you are.
We don't know who the true enemies of God are. We don't.
That's true, Coach.
Good word today, buddy. Good word. Hey, listen, folks, listen. I don't know if you saw this. The governor of Virginia has declared a state of emergency in Virginia to the point where the possessing bearing of weapons on state property is prohibited for the gun rally, right? The gun rally. See, we don't understand this, folks. This is tyranny at its highest. Hey, Jared, pull up the Declaration of Independence real quick.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Did you also hear about what they did with gun ranges?
Tell us,
in Virginia,
Paul. It's tyranny.
Apparently, they are making it to that you can only go to gun ranges that are approved by the government.
There you go, brother. There you go. There you go. Tyranny. See how long, folks? This beast. They codify evil by law. Listen, folks. People bearing weapons is not evil. Evil is those trying to take away the weapons. We got the roles reversed. The evil ones are the ones trying to take away your God-granted right. Those are the evil ones. The evil guys are not the guys showing up with guns. And for the guy to be able to declare a state of emergency to prevent you from having your God-given right to bear arms. Jared, scroll on down, because here's what I'm trying to find. We hold these truths to be evident, and blah, 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 blah. That okay, there we are. There we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, among them are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, getting their powers from the people, not granting his powers from the government, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. In other words, when we yield our right to an overarching, overreaching government, it is their right, boys and girls. It is their duty to throw off such government, to provide new guards for the future security. I think we've been here before. And see, so if I show up in Virginia to protest the overarching, reaching arm of the government, folks, do you understand? I'm doing my duty. Isn't that what it says, Jared? It is their duty. Duty. They got it backwards. They call an emergency to protect them who are doing what? Codifying evil by law. And we're told to obey it. We're told to obey it by our pulpits.
Coach, you read it, Psalm 94.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk about, folks, I want you to understand it. I'm not at all endorsing law breaking. I'm endorsing law keeping. Which law? Which law? I'm going to Virginia. I hope some of you will go with us. Make sure you let us know if you're going. Nobody knows what's on the other side of it. Nobody knows. But we're going to remain in this morass, this moral morass, and this disintegrating of our culture until godly men in particular decide it's time to do something about it. It's time for us to stop being blown about, talking about Christians, with every wind and doctrine of the evil one. It's time for that to stop. And it's time for men of God in particular to become the wind, to be the wind. We have an opportunity to do that. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.